to you, Ron and Jerry, Father. You know all about it. You know you've mobilized. There are many mobilized to pray. And we just look to you to undertake on their behalf, to give them a touch, O God, of your healing power. Show yourself strong. The mighty God who heals, Father, the God who answers prayer. Answer the prayer of ours and the many, many who are praying for them and who know them, who are friends with them, Father, and for the people that they minister to there in Niger, Father. We pray that you would work a mighty work on their behalf. And Lord, today too we pray for the Arise service, the baptismal time to come. And Father, we just pray that you would move mightily, Father, in this last night of these meetings, that you would draw many to yourself. Lord, many that people that know you to renew and be refreshed and renewed in their callings and their ministry and their devotion to you, Father, and that you would bring many, many people to you that don't know you, Father. Draw many to that place, Father. Let the power of God, the Spirit of your Spirit, fall mightily, Father, and to have your way in that service. We ask your way in the service today. We thank you for Pastor Dave and Lord, just anoint the word that he'll bring. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We have announcements. Besides what's in your bulletin, there's a little more to share. As we just mentioned, the last meeting for the Arise services in the field across from York's Corners at 6 o'clock tonight. And before that, there's a baptismal service open to anyone seeking water baptism. 3 o'clock, meet there at the Arise meeting place. I'm not sure where exactly the baptism is. Maybe the river's gone down enough. Oh, they brought in a baptism. All right, yeah, there's still a lot of water in the river, maybe too much. Yeah, and muddy, yes. I don't know, though. It worked for... I'll go in the muddy Jordan, right? And next week, we have Irv and Ruth Schwant. I think everybody knows them. It'll be great to see them again and hear updates of what's happening at the Rahema home. And we will have a fellowship meal next week after the service. The church is going to provide beef on wick and the table service and beverage. And if you folks, whoever wants to come, will bring a dish to pass. Do we have a sign-up sheet for that? In the back, maybe? Oh. Come one, come all. We never lack for food when we have these things. Potluck is going to be potluck. Okay. So, remember that for next week after service. And then a couple of other things. One is a bulletin insert, so I won't say a lot about that. You can just read about that. The Walk for Life is planned September 11th, and it's to benefit our local crisis pregnancy center, the Bright Alternatives. And you can just read all about that in the bulletin insert. That's coming up again September 11th. I don't know if that's in your bulletin, but Parker Jordan Christian School is still accepting applications for kids in grades K through 8 for this upcoming school year. If you know anybody that should know about that, spread the word. And otherwise, keep the school in your prayers. As this is the beginning work, they're pioneering work, and there's a lot still to be done before the beginning of the year. So keep them in prayer. And remember our regular weekly things, men's Bible study continuing Monday, 6 to 8 p.m., studying the book of Romans. And prayer meeting will be here Wednesday night at 7. Come worship and pray. Amen. Brother Dave, come and share. We'll move you around here, put you front and center. Turn this off.
And I'm hoping that I'm actually on.
We'll turn this off so we don't have echo. There. All right. I'll take my.
You may have noticed that Devin and Shay are not here today, and they're the ones that kind of keep me honest as to the sound system. So if things go wrong with the sound system, it's probably my fault. Sister Rita, come and share. Well, I'm going to turn it back on.
Thank you.
Yes.
The other night, Teresa and I went to the revival, and it was on the prodigal son. So if you're praying for anybody, keep praying. It will work in God's timing. And also, I'm sure each of you know there are angels all around us. And when we drove off to the right up to the main drag, you know, you have to come to a stop sign, and I like looking at clouds. Anyway, there was this big cloud in front of us. And I kid you not, I had Teresa there for a witness, because I said, Teresa, do you see what I see? And even the Lord sent angels, two different ones. Mm-hmm. Fear not, I bring tidings of good joy. Mm-hmm. He brings us angels peace. Anyway, in the clouds, there was this man's face or being's face, and I kept looking. I said, Teresa, do you see what I see? Because I didn't want to think I'm seeing things, you know. And it was an actual face and shoulders and wings. I don't know how many seen it, but always remember, you have angels at your back. But God's the ultimate. He's there first. So for whoever this concerns, always remember, never give up praying for anybody. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, that's all right. Anyone else have a testimony they want to share today? What's God been doing? Anyone have something? If God's done something in your heart, in your life, and He has blessed you some way, you need to share that. You need to share it, because what it does is it builds faith in the believers, and then they can hear what God has done for you, and it builds faith that God can do it in their lives. Anybody going once? Going twice? Don't be shy. I know God is at work. Amen. He is. He is absolutely at work. Can I encourage you? The word that I felt the Lord gave me during worship this morning, I feel it's important for us to take that very seriously today. I think that is a word that God is speaking. And I want you to think for just a moment. Think about something that you have maybe hoped for in God. Maybe you felt like God spoke something to you. Maybe you felt like the Lord demonstratively gave you a promise. Maybe there was something that you're praying and really believing God for. But for whatever reason, over time, you know what can happen. As you wait, and as you wait on God, that hope can begin to dwindle. It can begin to fade a little bit. You can start to lose hope that God is going to do it, that God can meet that need, that God can do it. Today, I want to encourage you, even if it, think of something. If you got a piece of paper, write it down. Think of something that you have hoped, God, do this in my life, and maybe that's gotten dim. And believe God to breathe on that thing again. Breathe on it and bring it to life. You know, when God, have you ever gone camping and your fire gets a little low? What do? You blow on that fire. Boy, I've spent a lot of time. I'm one of the world's worst campfire builders ever. We had some pretty pitsy, and there's a lot of pictures of me probably going. But when God blows on it, it can come to life. It can come to life. Believe God for what He said. Believe God for what He's stirring up, and then believe God for fresh vision. And if you feel something stirring in your heart, that's the Holy Spirit. That's God saying, I am going to do it. I am going to do a new thing. I am absolutely believing God to do it. I've discovered that people... Maybe you've discovered it too. I've discovered that people really like food. Have you discovered that people like food? So when we have a fellowship next week, You can invite people for some food. Invite somebody to come and tell them, hey, you want to come to church? We're going to have beef on whack. It'll be good. Take the opportunity. And what if they came for beef on whack and they got Jesus? Would that be okay? Is that false advertising? No way! Oh, you come for beef on whack and you get Jesus. And beef on whack. You get both. Cool. God is good. Don't discount it. Most people come to Christ and they come to church because somebody comes to them and shows a personal interest in them. Somebody keeps coming. Sometimes they come just so you won't bother them anymore. That's okay too. However they come. Paul says, in all ways Christ is preached, in that I rejoice. So use that, please. And if you're a particular person that has some skills, or maybe you're good with your hands and you have some time, Parker Jordan could really use your help. Parker Jordan is the Christian school, and they're doing great. They're going to open on time, but there's a lot to do. And I had the opportunity to be part of some of the teacher interviews this past week. And they've got some good people coming in. It's just that there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot to starting up a school. And there's just a lot of boxes to move and things to sort. And in some of the places, there's still some drywall to hang. And if you have some time and you want to help, they'll find something for you to do. And if you're not a drywall hanger, maybe you can unpack a box or something. It would bless them. We have information on the table that lists the school number, and if you feel shy, like, I don't know who to talk to, then call me and I'll send them your way or whatever. Glory to God. Seems like I'm stalling a little. There was something else that I wanted to announce today, and it's kind of gone out of my head, but I want to encourage you in just one more thing. And ladies, you can kind of go for just a minute. Well, maybe not. It's for everybody. Can I meddle just a little bit? This is definitely meddling, without a doubt. Before service, we have a prayer meeting in that back room. And God moves in that time. People are in that room and they are praying for you, for the service, for me, for God to move. And I've noticed that it's usually Dave and the girls. it's almost always Dave and the girls. Guys, God wants to use you to pray too. So I'm just going to throw that out. Come help me out, man. I don't want to be the only guy in that room. Guys, if you're here, you can pray and you can believe God. And what if a minute before it was time to start, there was nobody in here because we were all stuffed in there? Well, if we were all stuffed in there, then I guess we'd have to have the prayer meeting out here. But what if we're all on our face seeking God before the service starts? What would God do? What would God do? Thank you. My wife knows that I get a little excited, and after I sing a lot, thank you. You read my mind. I'm sorry. This is so rude. One Sunday when my father-in-law, Carol's dad, was alive, he was in church. He was here and he heard me preach. And it was quite a wonderful thing to have him, but he made a funny comment afterward. He said, yeah, you had a drink up there, and none of us had drinks. And then he suggested that we should get a little cart with an umbrella and push it up and down the aisles and dispense drinks to people. I never forgot that. So when somebody brings me a water, I remember what your dad said, pushing, we need a cart, drinks. But I hope we'll get a good drink from the Word this morning. I'd like to have you turn, if you have your Bibles. We're going to start in Romans 15 today. And as always, I'm going to take you on a wild tour of the Scriptures. We are talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to believe God to move in power. Do we need God's power in this day and this age? Oh, do we need God's power in this day and age? People have heard enough talk. People have heard every reason. They've heard every argument. And they've also heard every enticement that the world offers. And honestly, some of them are pretty good. Look pretty good, look pretty wonderful. But nothing can compare to the power of God when God shows up.
Amen.
There's a popular Christian song, we're going to sing it. When you walk into the room, speaking of Jesus, everything changes. And we believe that when Jesus comes, anything can happen. Last week, we discussed what is meant by the full gospel, Romans 15, 8 and 9, for I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is fully preached when it comes in word and it comes in power. When it comes in word and it comes in power. Last week we talked about a movement called cessationism, or the idea that with the advent of the New Testament canon of Scripture and the death of the apostles, that was the end of all the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. We looked at their main proof text, out of 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. I don't think I put that on my notes, Adam, so maybe I did. No, I guess I didn't. Oh, what do you know? Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And people will tell you, the Bible says tongues will cease. It says that. It says it right in the Bible. And there it is. Where there are tongues, they will cease. See, it says it right there. It doesn't tell you when tongues will cease. When do tongues cease? When that which is perfect, when Jesus comes back at the end of the age and we have a new heaven and a new earth, who's going to need to speak in tongues? Who's going to need to be healed? Who's going to need to prophesy? Who's going to need a word of knowledge? Who's going to need miracles then? Until that time, let's establish in our hearts, we need the power of God. We need it. We need the power of God. Oh, God, help us. And the gifts will continue until Jesus returns. We talked about it being a second experience distinct from salvation. Another scripture that we didn't look at last week was Acts chapter 8, verses 8 through 19. And I'm sorry, it's a little small. I didn't put all of my verses up, but I did put that one up. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city. Do you know that we have a lot of sorcery in the world now? Do you know that what the scripture says for witchcraft and sorcery, do you know that the root word of that is pharmacopoeia? Where we get our word for drugs. When people imbibe in drugs and drug abuse, that is a form of sorcery, mind-altering. There's something of the demonic that's released when people do that. And boy, do we have it. Boy, do we have all kinds of that sort of thing. Who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria. Well, wait, isn't that all fake? No, there's power. There's power in realm of darkness, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. He was doing all his little tricks and little sorcery things, and the demonic power that this man had given himself over to. Apparently there were things that happened. And you don't think it's true. Go over into Africa or over to Haiti and see some of the witch doctors there. They will perform signs and wonders like you won't believe. And you'll think, how is this possible? It's demonic power. There is demonic power in the world today. But let's go on. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. And believe it or not, then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had believed the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when you get saved, do you receive the Holy Spirit? Yes, the Spirit of God comes into you. It causes your dead spirit to be regenerated and come to life. Is that the baptism in the Holy Spirit? We can see that this is a separate experience. They believed. They were baptized. But when the apostles came, then they laid their hands on them and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, usually what happens is we see that they speak in tongues, they prophesy, miraculous things happen. And nothing is said here about that. For as yet he had not fallen on them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Spirit. And when Simon the sorcerer saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also so that anyone I lay my hands on will receive the Holy Spirit. What did he see? Obviously, they didn't just come up and pray for them, and they say, okay, and then away they go. Something happened. Something really happened to get the attention of this Simon the sorcerer, who was used to supernatural power, and he's like, whoa, I want to be able to do that. Now, he had a problem. He had some ambition. He had some personal ambition. He wanted some fame. Often people seeking power will gravitate toward those supernatural things. And Simon is like, whoa, I want to do this too, but not for the right motives. He had obviously seen something amazing and supernatural that happens. I imagine those people prophesied. They probably spoke in tongues. It doesn't say. Maybe some of them got healed. I don't know what God did. We don't know for sure. All I can say is it had to be pretty amazing. And Simon said, wow, can you give me this? And then when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Whoa, I want to buy these guys off. Let me do that. Saying, give me this power also that anyone I lay my hands on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. So obviously it's not something that can be brought about through ambition. It can't be sought after because it's something that you want. It's a gift of God to bless and release believers. And we're going to look more at that in just a minute. But one more scripture, 1 Thessalonians 1:5, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power. in the Holy Spirit and with great conviction, just as you know we lived among you for your sake. So the gospel, it can come in word, but God wants to move in power. Oh, God, help us. If you have your Bible with you, I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to talk for just a moment about our part. And we touched on this a little bit last week, but I want to spend a little bit more time with this. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have a list of all the distinctly supernatural gifts of the Spirit. And in the coming weeks, we're going to march down that list, and we're going to look at each of them and how they manifest in the body and in the world and how God wants to use them today. We're not going to step down through that entire list today. Suffice to say, it says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Each one. Are you a one? I'm a one. Each of us. For the profit of all. And when we give ourselves to the gifts and the moving of the Spirit of God, everybody profits. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing, there it is again, to each one individually as He wills. So what I want to say to you today is God wants to use each one of you in the power of the Spirit of God. He wants to use you in those gifts. Now, it's not like a switch that you can turn on and off. I wish it was. It was like, okay, now I'm going to manifest the gifts of healing. Kazapo. We're dependent upon God. We still depend upon Him. We still have to look to Him. We still have to ask. But if we don't give ourselves to believe and expect and pray and seek God for the manifestation of those gifts, how are we going to walk in that? Now, He's just given us this wonderful list of gifts, but then He says, verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And it goes on to talk about us all being baptized into one body, Jew and Greek. The body is not one member, but many. And in verse 15, This conjures up such a funny picture in my mind. If you think about it, it's kind of like playing Mr. Potato Head. If the foot says, I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Can you imagine the body of Christ hopping around on one foot? That'd be great, wouldn't it? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the seeing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Many members, one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor can the head say to the feet, I don't need you. Oh man, can you imagine a footless body going around with no head? No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacked it, that there would be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Can you see how dependent we are upon each other? Do you see the dependency that Paul is trying to establish here? But this is all in the context of spiritual gifting. This is sandwiched. This is a sandwich scripture. At the top, he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. At the bottom, he talks about gifts of the Spirit. And then in the middle, he talks about all the parts of the body. Let's not pull that part out and say, okay, we're just talking about body life. It's also talking about moving in the Spirit. And if one member suffers, all the members... Well, I said that already. So you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is obviously no. God's distributed that around the body, and so we need each other. We need each other if we're going to move in the Spirit and we're going to move together. We've got to be together. And we have to recognize that God is calling us to this. And if we don't, then somebody's going to miss out on the gift that you could share with them. And, you know, when God uses you to speak or do something in the Spirit and it ministers to somebody else, ooh, it ministers to you too. It builds you up. It builds up your faith. We had a thing that happened up here at the altar last week, and someone came up, and suddenly I was praying, and I felt like the Lord was moving, but I had the distinct, I knew that God suddenly had come upon the brother right next to me right here. And there it was, and I just kind of waited, and finally I'm like, go ahead, man, go ahead. And he shared, the word of knowledge came out of him for the guy we were praying for. It was incredible. It was incredible. But there he stood, and he could have withheld that. He could have withheld it. But I could tell it was burning in him, because it was burning in me that it was burning in him. I'm like, release it, man. And he did, and it really spoke life to the person that we were praying over. So God wants to use us in that way. All the body's important. Last week I had a fun little illustration I wanted to use, and I have it today. The body of Christ is, I thought, was kind of like baking a cake. You need butter. You need milk. I drink almond milk. You know, sorry. You know, I know it's awful for some people. I thought it was going to be awful when I had to start, but gluten-free flour, because that's me. If you come to my house, maybe you want chocolate cake. Chocolate cake. If you know, for me to get really excited, it's got to be chocolate. Sorry. Just, I mean, I like other things. Need an egg. Sugar and baking powder, and maybe there's other things that you like to put in your cake. But the idea is to put these ingredients in and mix them all together. Mix them together, pour it in the pan, bake it. Let every part do its part to make something that's really yummy. Now, what do you do if the ingredients don't want to get in the bowl together? I don't want to get in. I'm not getting in with that egg. I don't think I can do this. So then suddenly you have a lot of ingredients that haven't gotten together. So then what you have to do is, have a spoonful of butter. And then after you have that, okay, now open your mouth, teaspoon of baking soda or baking powder. And then, oh, here, slurp a little egg, please. And don't forget the cocoa. Yum, yum, unsweetened cocoa. And here, have some sugar. That's not the hardest thing to get down. The flour, that's not much fun. But see, if they don't get in and they aren't mixed, then Can you imagine eating these things separately? What if you bake the cake, but some of the ingredients are missing, and you have most of them? What if you bake the cake, and you put the flour in, and the cocoa powder, and the sugar, and the milk, and the egg, and the butter, and you don't put in the baking powder? And you get a cake that's about that thick. Yummy, yummy. Or if you put everything in, but oops, I forgot the sugar. Oh, my wife had an aunt that used to make sugarless chocolate cake. My wife let me know just how tasty that was. Oh boy. So in other words, you can't do it without all the ingredients. If you don't have all the ingredients in there, what kind of cake are you going to get? And how can we think that we can have the body of Christ? The whole body of Christ if it isn't working together. God wants to work it together. God wants to use all of us. And can I say, I'm going to digress just a little bit. And this is really off the track of what I'm sharing. Spiritual gifts aside, we're having meetings out there in York's Corners with a lot of different Christians. Do you know we need them too? We need the body of Christ. We need them. If we're at odds with them and we're fighting with other people, well, they don't believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Do you know there are some denominations that say if you do not speak in tongues, you are not saved? May I go on record as officially saying the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not any sign of salvation. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you are saved. You are saved. I hope that we've established that we're talking about a second experience. But oh, how we need everybody. So one of your jobs, can I give you a job? I'm going to give you a job. And I don't want you to forget it. I want you to begin to pray. Two things. Number one, God, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Hey, Pastor Dave, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1982. Okay. Do we stay really filled up all the time? Do we need to be renewed in the Spirit? Do we need to use that, maybe that prayer language that God's given you? Do you need to be filled again? Do you need to be... And maybe you feel like you've never really received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want you to pray and say, God, fill me. God, fill me with the Spirit. And number two, I want you to pray and say, Lord, how do you want to use me in the Spirit? How do you want to use me? Say, use me in the Spirit. Manifest your life out of me. Use me to pray for somebody and see them healed. Use me to speak a word that unlocks something in somebody's life. Use me in the gift of miracles. Use me. Can you believe that God could actually do that? Do you believe that God could actually do that? Some of your heads are saying yes, and inside your heart you're like, yeah, I think so. But it's me. Well, no, it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. It's the Holy Ghost in you that does the work. And He's the one that does that. And it's always different. I was at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International meeting once, and they brought in, I went to a number of those when I was newly saved out in Fredonia, and they brought this guy in that had this healing and miracles ministry. And I got to say, it was amazing. It was amazing. There was one point he brought out a word of knowledge and he pointed right at a lady. Kate, I'm going to use you. And he pointed right at this woman and said, you have a need for healing. And that woman looked right up at him and she went. And he said, yes, you do. You have something that's never healed. And she looked at him and she was like. And he said, you have a spot behind your right ear that was cut and it never healed right. And she looked and her eyes got really big and she was like, I sat in that meeting. I was amazed at the powerful word of knowledge that came out. And God touched that woman. And it just went. But then there was something said at the end of the meeting that I found to be disturbing. One of the brothers, who was part of the Full Gospel Businessmen, at the end closed the meeting and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know that our brother has not done anything that you or I could not do in Christ." And when I heard that, my insides kind of went, and I thought, wait a minute. I believe for miracles, but something wasn't quite, something caught in me. And then I was at another meeting where there was an evangelist, and this guy, I talked about him last week, the guy that was a dwarf and he grew. And he's the kind of person that drives me crazy because everywhere he goes, it's like people just fall over to get saved. I mean, he talks to the cabbie and the cabbie gets saved. He talks to the guy at the snack bar and he gets saved. I talk to somebody and they go, not always, but I mean, people just get saved left and right all around him. And he's sharing these amazing testimonies. And then somebody at the end of the meeting got up and said, "Well, we can all be like our brother." And I'm like, that's not my ministry. I mean, I witness to people. I mean, some people get saved, but they don't fall over. I mean, on me, I don't have a healing ministry where people are like, I'm not traveling the world having huge, it's just not. Can you see that when people take their gift and generalize it to the body of Christ, it becomes a problem? Yeah. There is a movement in the body of Christ today that says everybody should prophesy. Everybody should prophesy. And I don't see it. We just read it. Do all prophesy? The answer is no. There are diversities of gifts. God spreads them around. God moves them around. Jesus had them all. I'm not Jesus. And God very wisely does that, and that means we have to depend on each other. We have to depend upon each other. Oh, God. And when it said, but let me qualify that, when it says, are any apostles, are any prophets, do any speak with tongues, do any of that, do all do this? Do all do that? My question to the body of Christ today is, do any speak with tongues? Do any prophesy? Do any work with miracles? God help us, I hope so. So when we say do all, my question is, well, do any? God help us to be the ones that do that. The body of Christ, everything is needed to function. Last week we talked about what I would call the priesthood of the believers. And we have a history from Judaism through now of a separation between priesthood and people, clergy and laity. Brothers and sisters, it was not meant to be that way. Yes, there are leaders in the body of Christ. Yes, Jesus appointed leaders. Yes, the apostles went about and placed elders in the church, but it was never to be to separate people so that we had the clergy and the laity. We need the body of Christ. The scripture says that the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And take that comma out of your Bible if it's there. For the equipping of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry. If that comma appears there, it's wrong. It's not in the text. The minister is not the one that does the work of the ministry. Part of the job of ministry is to equip you so that you can be empowered to go out and be used by God to do mighty things. And so who are the minister? Who is the minister in this church? Us. Please don't think I'm the only one that can pray for people. God help us. No. Step up, ladies and gentlemen. Let faith arise. And believe God to use you in an exciting way. Matthew 25, we're going to have to close up pretty quick. I'm not going to get done again. I get going. Matthew 25, I was like, Friday, I was like, God, what am I going to preach? And then Sunday, I'm like, God, what do I not preach? Matthew 25, if you've got your Bible, otherwise you can listen. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Now, can I say something? The emphasis in this parable is not how many talents somebody was given. God doesn't care about that. Yes, somebody got 5, somebody got 2, somebody got 1. That's not the point. Now, oh, by the way, what was a talent? A talent was not like an ability. He didn't give them like the ability to sing and to paint. Okay, you're going to be able to sing, paint, dance. That'd be a good one, huh? And, you know, whatever. It's talking, a talent is a measure of money, and a talent was a lot of money. Some scholars believe it was about worth 20 years of a person's wages. 20 years of wages. Think about what you make and multiply that by 20. It was a lot of money. And then he went off. So somebody got 20 years worth of money. Somebody else got 40 years of money. Somebody got, well, I don't know, a lot of money. And then he went off and he left it. Then he left them. When he who had received the 5, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gave another and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to the one that has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. The issue in this parable is not how many talents somebody receives, any more than it doesn't matter what kind of gifting God wants to give you. Some people are more upfront. Some people, their entire ministry will be very quiet. They may have a gift of helps where God uses them, or mercy, or giving. We haven't talked about those. They're not in the list of distinctly supernatural gifts. But they may never come forward, but if they're faithful in using those. Now, there's no way for us to measure the impact of our spiritual gifts the way that parable read. Someday I'm not going to have money to hand to the Lord. It's just not going to be that way. But what I'm saying to you, that parable is saying, believe what God has given you, take it and use it. God has gifted you. Number one, you have to know, God has gifted you. Can you accept that? We've seen in the scripture, God says that he has gifted you. Number two, seek his face. Say, God, use me. Help me to invest my life in other people. However that means. It might mean in a supernatural gift. I might mean in natural ways as well. But God wants to use you to use your gift to reach other people. I can't believe I only got through half of my notes today. I had so much farther that I wanted to go. I'm going to just say end with one thing. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. What is it? What do you do? The scripture says often it's people come up and they have hands laid on them and they receive an unction from the Holy Spirit. It comes upon them. How do I define that? It's very hard to define. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I had heard a message and I was so excited. I'm like, God, I want to do something exciting. I want God to use me in power. Yes, Lord. And I thought I had to go up at church, but I was in a cubicle on the campus at Fredonia where I was a student, and I was sitting there alone in this little office, and I prayed and I said, God, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, I started speaking in tongues. It just came out of my mouth. And I was like, oh! I didn't go forward at church. And so I was like, okay, I don't know if this is right. So then I went to church, and I went forward, and they laid hands on me, and I just did what I had done before, and they're like, oh, you got it, yay! My dear friend and my piano professor, Dolores Gadevsky, she sought God and sought God and sought God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. She went forward. She got prayed for. She waited on God. And it just seemed like nothing. Nothing. What? And she prayed for again, nothing. And then one day, she gets in the bathtub. And she's laying in the bathtub, and all of a sudden, she starts speaking in tongues. Like, and she told me that. She's like, only me. God would give it to me in the bathtub. I read an interesting story, and I'm going to finish with this. This was from some of my coursework with my ministry degree. The persistent seeker. It says, in seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit, one young man felt increasingly self-conscious because of the fact that he was the pastor's son, and he had not received the experience about which his father had so faithfully preached. He felt that all the church was watching to see if he would receive it, which they probably weren't, but he felt like all eyes were on him. Is he going to get it? Is he going to get it? Then he went away to college and attended a struggling new assembly with no more than 30 people in a service. As he had done for years, he continued to go to the altar every Sunday night and pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. His prayer time usually amounted to about 20 minutes, ending with the conclusion that nothing spiritual was really happening and it just wasn't going to be for that night. One particular Sunday night, he had prayed his usual 20 minutes in no special need to get back to his dormitory. He got up from the altar and sat in one of the folding chairs against a wall to the left of the altar. Things were over for this time, but he thought he would wait a little longer before leaving. As others at the altar were being blessed by the Spirit, he just continued to praise the Lord. The pressure of having to do something was off. The show was off. He wasn't the pastor's son. He was just somebody sitting on the side worshiping God. And he felt a strong desire to just begin to tell the Lord how much he loved him. As he sat there, before long, the young man was speaking in tongues while still sitting in his chair over on the side of the altar. How does God do it? I don't know. I know he wants to. If you're here today and you have said, God, I really want you to fill me with the Spirit, and you feel like, I just don't feel like the Lord's released me in that, I'd like to pray for you today. And it's not my prayers that are going to do that. If you're here today and you want, and you have a need in your body for physical healing and you want prayer, we want to give place to the Holy Spirit to move on you and in you. And God could do it. Maybe you need a word of encouragement. Maybe you need God to do something. Maybe you are saying, well, I'm here today, but I've kind of been away from the Lord for a long time. We would be thrilled to help you to find that precious relationship with Jesus again. If you're here today and you have a need, we want to be able to believe God with you. If you need to go, God bless you. Please remember there is a baptism today in York's Corners, and there is the Arise meeting tonight. And it would, not that you have to, but my wife and I are leading worship tonight, and it would be a great encouragement to have some really loud worshipers that come to sing who know all of the songs that we sing here, because you kind of get, you go to a part of, you're a part of the body of Christ, and you go somewhere else and you start singing, and you find that people don't know the songs you're singing, but we have words and whatever, but God knows. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, we wait on you. We talk about how we want the power of God, and yet we can't produce the power of God. We're dependent upon you. We're dependent upon your Spirit. So we say, come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in your strength and your power. God, we need you. And Father, we need each other, and how we need the body of Christ to move and to work together. And Father, I pray that you would release ones in this house today in the giftings and in the power of the Spirit in the way that you want to use them. And Father, we know that part of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is so that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit as well. So we want to see that character of Christ built in us as well. But God, we need your power. And Father, I pray that you would manifest it. And God, I pray that especially today and in days to come, that we would begin to see gifts of healings, significant manifestation of healing, undeniable that God is at work, Father, that you would do tremendous things. And we're asking for those miracles. We're asking for those healings. We're asking for faith. We're asking for word of knowledge, for word of wisdom, for prophetic words, for utterances in tongues, discerning of spirits. God, pour it out, Lord, so that the word is fully preached and people know that your arm is not shortened and you can move. Help us, Father. We seek your face today and ask you to move in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you have a need, please come. The altar is open. We would love to pray for you. If not, God bless you. We hope to see you either later today or next week. But believe God and ask him to speak to your heart and do you with power. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Oh, rabba, papa, papa.